Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Aurelia Metals Limited quarterly investor conference call. All participants are in the listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your touch-tone phone. I'd now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Dan Clifford, Managing Director. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Ari. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for your time this morning. With me, I have Peter Trout, our Chief Operating Officer, Adam McKinnon, Group Manager for Geology, and Ian Poole, CFO, and welcome Ian to the group. This morning, we released our June quarterly production report and our group mineral resource and ore reserve statement as flagged during the June quarter. I'll hand over to Peter and Adam and Ian shortly. Just a few opening comments from myself. The June quarter was a strong finish to the year with 32,000 ounces at $1,100 an ounce. It was underpinned by a strong throughput performance and underlying operating performance, but heavily driven by higher head grades in both operations. That performance supported a full year result of just over 91,000 ounces at $1,520 an ounce. Exploration success continued, particularly with the maiden resource at Federation, and continued ongoing success at both Kairos and Peak North, the Peak operation. From a corporate perspective, we had a healthy increase in our cash balance for June 30 to $79 million, and we completely unwound our hedging position at the moment, and that gives us a strong position for cash flow going forward. Throughout this next year and looking forward. With that, I'll hand over to Peter for some operational comments.
Thanks, Dan, and good morning to everyone on today's call. As Dan's mentioned, a highlight of the quarterly results announcement was a strong production finish to both the June quarter and the financial year. Our quarterly group gold and base metal production was the highest for the year, with 32,800 ounces of gold production being a major contributor to the much improved all-in sustaining cost and cash flow. At both sites, quarterly gold production benefited from better ore grades as stoping progressed through higher grade ore zones, and we had some localised areas where the gold grade outperformed our geological model. This positive grade variation is a characteristic of the nuggety gold distribution in both deposits and underpins the variability we do see from time to time against our model grades. Moving on to Peak, we continue the upward trend of mined and milled ore volumes with progressive debottlenecking of the capacity constraints, such as the shaft at Peak, and better scheduling and execution of our work activities. The underground mine delivered a more consistent ore supply to the process plant, and that allowed us to run copper and lead zinc ore campaigns to the mill over longer durations. And what that did is reduce the time we lost to clean out the circuit and reconfigure the process plant as we changed between the different ore feeds. The longer campaigns also gave us more favourable conditions for optimising the circuit to treat the polymetallic ore types. So this operating strategy enables us to achieve a higher processing volume, but also contributes to quarter-on-quarter fluctuation in our base metal production. And that depends on the proportion of copper or lead zinc ore that is fed to the plant. Development of both declines to the Kairos deposit continued over the quarter, with the lower decline now having reached the Kairos zone and giving us a platform to set up the power and the watering systems, the ventilation circuit, to perform stope definition drilling and to get stope development in place. These activities will occur concurrent with the development of the upper decline towards the Kairos zone. Once connected, the upper decline will provide us with a second means of egress and the additional ventilation airflow required for first Kairos stope production in the second half of this financial year. Moving to Hera, it's pleasing to report that our ore production from the underground mine increased by more than 10% relative to prior quarters. In the process plant, we experienced lower throughput rates and some unplanned downtime that reduced the process tonnage. However, that loss was more than offset by the higher gold grade and recovery through the circuit. The gold grade doubled relative to quarter three as stoping fronts retreated to higher grade mining areas, and we also benefited from a favourable grade performance in the far west deep zone against the geological model. Our gold recovery also improved, and we saw a high proportion of gold recovered through the gravity circuit at Hera in the last quarter. We also released the updated Hera ore reserve statement today. And I'd like to point out that the ore reserve does have a lower average gold grade, but higher average base metal grades than those achieved during the June quarter. And that the ore reserve grade gives us a more indicative reflection of future mill grades at Hera.
Thanks, Peter. And now let's hand over to Adam to give a summary of the reserve and resource statement, please.
Thanks, Dan. So today the company has released its group mineral resource and ore reserve statement for 2020. Starting with the resources, the group estimate this year sits at a measured indicated inferred total of 16.8 million tonnes. This represents a 5% decrease in tonnage from 2019, although this is offset by a 9% increase in equivalent grade, with the average NSR increased from $214 to $233 this year. Outside of mining depletion, the biggest contributor to the in resource tonnage was economic and recovery parameters adopted for the NSR calculations. Across the board, less favourable commercial terms for concentrate treatment were assumed, with a significant increase in zinc treatment charges in particular, affecting totals at Hera and a number below the peak. The company has also adopted a more conservative lead, zinc and gold recovery assumption for the Great Cobar until further metallurgical test work is conducted in the coming year. On the positive side, this year's group total includes high-grade resources from Federation for the first time after the release of the maiden in June this year. Moving to reserve, the group estimate for 2020 sits at approved and probable total of 4.5 million tonnes, an increase after mining depletion of 3% from 2019. The biggest contributor to the new reserve total was unconventional drilling at Kairos, with reserves in the lode increasing more than 200% to 550,000 tonnes at 5.3 grams per tonne gold and 8% combined lead zinc. Positive additions to the reserve totals were also returned from drilling at Kronos and at Peak North. At Hera, the decrease in reserves was basically in line with mining depletion for the year. Looking forward, the next financial year represents an exciting phase for the company. Recent exploration success, both near mine and regionally, has focused drilling efforts into the dual aims of discovery and also into resource to reserve conversion. In addition to the significant ongoing and near mine regional exploration efforts, high potential extensional and resource conversion infill drilling programs are scheduled for Federation, Great Cobar and Kairos in the first half of the financial year. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Adam. Just like to close off with some final statements before I hand over. Well, sorry, I'm going to hand over to Ian. My apologies, Ian.
Thanks, Dan. Just a quick summary. The company had a significant cash build during the June quarter from $51 million to $79 million, as shown in the waterfall graph in the quarterly report. Cash build was primarily due to a significant lift in gold production at both Hera and Peak because of the higher grade sources of ore, as well as the increased base metal production at Peak due to head grades and higher throughput in the mill following the completion of the upgrade of the lead zinc plant in the March quarter. The company also closed out its gold hedges during the quarter. The company is now unhedged except for minor QP hedging of base metals to minimise the fluctuation between provisional and final pricing of concentrates. During the quarter, the company also established a $30 million working capital facility with its bankers, Investec and ANZ. The documentation for the new facility was executed in early July. And also, just the company will be releasing its audited FY20 financial statement in mid to late August.
Okay, thanks Ian. It's before I hand over this time to questions, just a few closing comments from me. We've seen a great finish to the year for both operations, resulting in a strong platform ready for execution in this coming year. With the plan upgrade behind us, exploration success, and an underpinning focus on reliability and predictability and control of the assets, giving us an improving operating performance. Finished the year with a strong balance sheet and therefore very exciting platform in which to move forward into these next few years. That, for us, that is absolutely driving certainty and returns to the company and its shareholders. And I look forward to the next short period of time and lead into the full year results, laying out what the strategy is for the company moving forward with a key focus on the highest value operating configuration of our mills at full capacity with a very clear basis of NSR prioritisation into those mills. During the course of this year too, we have significant reinvestment back into our business in terms of ongoing exploration and the scoping studies and infill drilling for the Federation deposit and further drilling for the Great Cobar project. And with that, we will give that outlook and that picture during the course of August in conjunction with the full year results. So with that, I'd like to hand back to the operator and open up for the Q&A.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star then two. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Our first question comes from Andrew Hines of Shaw and Partners. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi guys. Dan, congratulations on a terrific finish to the year. So obviously a cracking quarter. Look, after the March quarter, I guess we talked about stability and predictability in performance of the assets, and you know, given that huge finish, just a couple of questions around that is, do you feel that you guys are yet on top of the predictability and the stability of the operations? Obviously that massive improvement from one quarter to the next, and it sounds like it was even better than you were looking for, so you know, is there more work to be done there? And secondly, when we're looking forward, you know, looking at the performance coming through in 2021, I presume we shouldn't extrapolate that June quarter and, you know, were there one-offs in there that mean that that's not going to be repeated? I mean, obviously, I'm not going to go back to the March quarter, but how should we think about stability and predictability going forward?
Thanks, Andrew. I think the way I'd like to answer the predictability for us is what we can definitely control. And I think what we have seen is a lot of attention has gone into the execution on the ground, particularly from a tonnes and a cost perspective. Those steps we can see have resulted in positive results, particularly at Peak in terms of mine tonnes and throughput. The real challenge for us is the predictability of grades. You know, we are dealing with a polymetallic business, and I've alluded to this a couple of times. I think your assumption there of not flatlining the June quarter performance is prudent. The next steps for us, whilst we can control development, stope turnover, costs, capital, the variation in grades is a challenge, and during the course of this next year, certainly through our budgeting, we have increased further definition and stope definition drilling through the, particularly at Peak. And I would say that density closing up much tighter to from where it has been, and I would estimate that would be a double of intensity in the drilling over this next year to drive that further predictability. Just coming to the second point you make about how should we expect to see things going forward. I'll sort of split the answer into two if I can. We are running pretty much at mill capacity. As Peter alluded to, we did suffer some downtime. There'll be an ongoing focus in there at reliability, operating hours and throughput for that mill. So I think what we will see is a continued expectation of that mill running at its nameplate capacity and the mine feeding it. But we will naturally see, and I draw your attention to the resource and reserve statements for the head grades at Hera in particular do come off, and that's natural. We're going to see the end of the mine life going from high grades to low grades, and we'll see gold come off and base metal increase. I think for Peak, the real predictability piece to be following is mine tonnes and throughput tonnes. And we will continue that definition drilling to drive our certainty of what we know is coming at these mills to ensure that we get clear visibility on every tonne we're mining, we're making a clear margin on.
Great. Thanks, Dan. Good answer.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Sam Berridge of Perennial. Please go ahead.
G'day, gentlemen. Just wanted to dig down on that that geological reconciliation between sort of the grades that you reported and also what's in the reserve. I mean, particularly for Hera, just looking back at the historicals there, I mean, the Hera head grade has been trending above the reserve grade pretty consistently for, well, at least the last 18 months that I can see. I'm just sort of curious, is there any, can you give any more further colour on the sort of the metrics or that you've cut or sort of modelled down those gold grades to get a reserve grade that you're comfortable with?
Hi Sam, it's Peter here. I'll answer your question there. So what we've seen historically at Hera is we have seen the gold grades reconcile better than those in the resource model. We've got no certainty that that will continue in the future, but the point that Dan makes is around getting a reasonable amount of information that gives us confidence that when we go into a stoping area, we'll make a margin on that material. So what you're seeing converted through into the reserve then includes an allowance for dilution or loss, et cetera, as well as the underlying resource model. So going forward, we've not made any changes to account for the positive reconciliation so far, but similarly, we can't rule out the possibility of that occurring.
Okay, thank you. And so, and just one more question from me. In the cash flow statement, there is a $9.7 million working capital build. I was curious, a bit of colour, what that represents?
That represents primarily inventory carried over at the end of the year.
Okay, in terms of concentrate or ROM stockpiles or just a mixture of both?
Mixture of both.
Gotcha. Rightio, thanks. Oh, I am gone though, radio. Okay, gents, thanks very much.
Thanks, Dan.
A reminder to ask a question, please press star then one. Our next question comes from Mike Milliken of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Yeah, morning, guys. Thanks very much for the call this morning. Just a very quick one from me. When we get guidance out, probably in August, are you going to provide like a 3-year outlook as well? And also, what should we expect? Should we expect some sort of guides on throughputs, you know, some sort of expectations on like a grade or an NSR? Can you just talk around that, please, Dan? Thanks.
I will. Thanks, Mike. I think certainly a baseline expectation will be that we'll give guidance during August, aligned similarly to what we have previously. In terms, we won't go beyond the 1 year. We'll certainly put some ambitions around what the 3-year looks like as we lock down on certainty with increased sort of definition and drilling things underground. So at this stage, be planning for a consistent approach to guidance with a forward look on what some of our ambitions are.
Okay, cool. And just for Kairos, expectation of first stoping ore in the second half of FY21. Are you talking pretty early in the second half? Is that the kind of the expectation?
Oh, look, we'll leave that for when we get to the guidance piece, Mike. We just want to be clear. We've got the lower decline into the target area. There's a lot of capital infrastructure to bring forward into that period. And at this stage in time, we'll leave it at half two.
Okay, cool. And just on Federation, obviously expectations for a scoping study within 12 months. Have you got a bit of a tighter time frame on when we should expect that?
No, we've recently commenced the work, Mike, and I think in accordance with the last call, we said the order of 12 months, and there's nothing at this point in time that would change that view.
No worries. Thanks very much, gents.
Thanks, Mike.
Our next question comes from Brian Chu of Australian Gold Fund. Please go ahead.
Morning there, Dan, Peter. Well done on the end-of-year results. Quite impressive. Just looking at the cash balance, and the company has actually increased it quite substantially. And do we expect that this to be going on going forward into 2021? And are there any plans for potentially expanding by acquiring other mine deposits, as we have seen that there are a lot of companies in recent times that are snapping up explorers and mine deposits to expand their reserves and resources base?
Thanks, Brian. I think, we've set the company over, 2 years to 18 months now, if not a bit further, has done a lot of work to set up for future years of strong cash flow in the business. So that's from the Peak acquisition, through to the upgrade in the mill and the current operating performance. So I think our view in looking forward is that cash flow performance remains within the business. In terms of growth capital or M&A targets, certainly from a growth capital, we're taking an internal look at where we are at the moment. The rate of return we're achieving on the drill bit now, naturally we are going to heavily focus on the tenements and the ore sources that we own, particularly Federation, Great Cobar, Peak North, Kairos Deeps, and those areas. So capital will continue to flow towards that rate of return we're achieving so far out of exploration. In terms of M&A, I won't be commenting on any specifics or targets around there, other than we're aware of what's happening in the industry, and we'll set up the appropriate tension between investment in our own internal growth and that of external opportunities when and if they arise.
Okay, fantastic, and keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron.
Our next question comes from Brett Mackay of Petra Capital. Please go ahead.
Morning, gents. Just a couple of quick ones. Just wanted to clarify, you guys sort of well in a comfortable position relating to the impacts around COVID, just in terms of having the confidence to provide that guidance for next year in August, as you say. Just wanted to get a sense for how well in hand those changes that you needed to make are understood and will be factored and included into next year's forecasts.
Thanks, Brett. It's a very timely question considering what we're seeing unfolding through the southern states at the moment. Take a step back. We put a lot of effort into how we managed particularly during February and March, and the basis in which we set up our protocols were around small, consistent and traceable teams. Now that philosophy's gone right through the business and remains that way at the moment. Through the period of June, we did, on the basis of New South Wales, well, in fact, the full country's performance, we did back off a little bit in some of the controls we had in place, but they were not about watering down the impacts of the small, traceable and consistent teams. It was more about how our workforce and contract partners interacted within some of the communities around us. Subsequently, and I will say over the last week, our team, in 10 days, our team has reviewed where we did relax and reviewed that against what we're seeing unfold in particularly Victoria and potentially New South Wales, you know, as we speak. We have put those protocols back into place and added further, particularly from some of our drive-in, drive-out teams. In terms of the impacts of the small, consistent, traceable groups, we factored those into what the performance for next year and the year after look like. And as I said, pretty consistently, it's not a matter. It is an efficiency issue on getting people deployed or back from work areas to central areas. We believe those protocols will remain. And for me personally, I can't see how communities and society can relax those yet until we see a vaccine. So naturally, we factored those efficiencies or inefficiencies into the business. In terms of that, what that means for us in guidance, Brett, I think, you know, we with the significant uncertainty that came at the company during February, March, and all of Australia for that matter. That did drive us to withdraw guidance. Subsequent to that and towards the end of the year, we thought it was very appropriate to provide month-on-month production performance in particular, just ensuring, you know, full disclosure and expectations to our shareholders. With where we think we are now and our ability to manage through the phenomenon, and you know, it is still a reasonable risk to the business, our plan is to put standard guidance back into place for the company in the period for August. Albeit, we'll be very closely watching what happens, you know, within particularly now New South Wales.
Yeah, understood. Okay, thank you. Just another just minor question. At HERA, site operating costs are up a little bit. But I just wanted to ask if there was anything sort of driving that. I know they're not significantly higher than what they've been in the past, but also sustaining capital seems to have, you know, dropped away quite a lot. Is that going to normalise back to a slightly higher level going forward?
Yeah, Brett, it's Peter here. I'll jump in and answer your question there. So yes, in terms of sustaining capital at HERA, we see that dropping off. Most of that recent sustaining capital has been in extending the North Pod incline, and we're satisfied now that that's sufficiently advanced to support the required production rates. The other impact on the unit costs has been the slight reduction in mill throughput on the denominator side. So clearly for us, sustaining and improving the mill volumes is a key driver of our improved unit cost performance looking forward at HERA.
Yeah, okay, got it. Great. Thanks, Peter. Thanks, Dan.
It's great.
A reminder to ask a question, please press star then one. Our next question comes from Joshua Hayne of REST Investments. Please go ahead.
Oh, g'day, Dan and team. Just a quick one, maybe just a sort of a follow-up to Hines' question before around peak. You're obviously annualising sort of close to 700,000 tonnes through the mill in the quarter, which is a, you know, fantastic improvement. Are we still targeting the 800,000 tonne per annum nameplate that sort of talked of previously? And if that's the case, what needs to happen to get there with sort of development rates, or are we sort of there already?
Yeah, Joshua, it's Peter here. We're certainly looking to lift the throughput through the mill and take advantage of that capacity. I would caution that it's we need to consider the nature of the ore going into the circuit. So, for example, we've went into the S400 zone in quarter four for the first time, and there's a high proportion of rhyolite in that area. And what that did is actually reduced the throughput rates in the mill. So it's not a straight extrapolation to get to 800,000 tonnes per annum, but the focus is very much on getting there as close as possible by lifting the mining performance to fill that available capacity in the circuit. And then it's about maximising recovery through the circuit as well.
Okay, great. Thanks for that.
I just have a comment there too, Josh. I think the work that the operations team has done over the last 3 or 4 months in finding additional reliability or further reliability in stope turnover, compliance to the plans and the debottlenecking of the hoist has delivered significant improvement over the performance of the asset. We believe there is further opportunity to be sourced there and found, and that's the nature of the continuous improvement. So there is certainly improvement planned for us coming. It's not something that will come in 2 or 3 months again. We will be constantly driving at that performance, but the ambition is, and realistically, the need or the opportunity for us to absolutely maximise the tonnes through these mills is a distinct advantage for the company.
Yeah, good one. Thanks for that. Well done.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mark Fichera of Foster Stockbroking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi guys. Just a question on exploration. You mentioned earlier in terms of trying to get a bit of a grip on the grade variability, doing some more intensive definition drilling. What does that sort of mean for exploration spend, say, in FY21 versus the FY20 year in terms of the increment?
We'll leave some of these comments for further when we're giving in terms of guidance, Mark. But I think there's two prongs to this. One, regional and near mine exploration during this year. We will expect to see that again as a minimum through FY21. But additionally to that. Because we're getting such success in that, in particularly Federation in around near mine at Peak, and even sort of further afield regionally around Hera, we will continue that drive. Additionally, though, as we find these deposits, particularly Federation, there is increased drilling to go into, particularly the infill drilling of Federation, and we're to a degree as well Great Cobar this year. So naturally, as we find ore bodies and we continue to find, then that exploration spend will continue. But additionally, there will be capital being deployed towards the infill drilling, certainly to bring the certainty and the resource to reserve conversion within those new finds.
Okay. No worries. Thanks.
Mr. Clifford, there are no further questions at this time. Would you like to make some closing comments?
Thank you. Thanks again, everyone, for their time. Just a couple of key comments at the end. The company's health and safety performance is requiring some attention. It hasn't given us the improvement we've planned over the last 6 to 8 months. We can see our TRIFR has actually increased over the period. So for myself and the management team, it's a key focus. We have recently instigated specific targeted intervention plans on both sites now, with a particular focus not only on personal injury but also on fatal hazards. And a sustainability perspective that has also extended through to key environmental risks with a very similar approach as to health and safety. We've had a great finish to the year, and we're putting behind us now the plant upgrade, some great ongoing exploration success, and the reliability and the further investment and effort into predictability the business has given us an improving operating platform. And that's what I alluded to in the last presentation. That's us getting absolute control on these assets. The whole convergence, I suppose, of those moves within the business is driving that certainty and returns to the company. And we're on a terrific platform looking forward now with mine-wise cost structures, and strong cash flows coming from our operations. Now, as I said, the look forward position we'll give further light on during the course of this year, focused on that highest value operating configuration of our mines and mills. So thank you everyone for your time, and with that, we'll sign off. Thank you.